إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, the 15th lecture in our series concerning the essay At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajaratul Iman, للشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. We are approaching the end of the essay in this section, the last section in which the author رحمه الله has mentioned the فوائد of إيمان, the benefits of إيمان, and its ثمرات, the fruits of إيمان. And we have already mentioned a number of them. There are just a few remaining, which we'll take some of them this evening, and then the remainder, inshallah, in the final lecture next week, bi-idhnillah. Previously, in the last lecture, we mentioned that from the benefits of Iman and fruits of Iman, is that the person who has true Iman, that they benefit from the reminder, when they are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which He requires of us, or the ayat of Allah, whether in the Qur'an or in that which is in the creation around them. And likewise, from the fruits of Iman is the achievement of al-falah, real success, true success, the success that is possible in this world and the perfect reward of Jannah in the next life. And likewise, we have mentioned previously in the last lecture that from the fruits of Iman or the benefits of Iman is al-maghfirah, yani that al-Iman, it is essential for one to earn the forgiveness of Allah. Therefore, of its benefits and its fruits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive some of the shortcomings of that person who falls into disobedience. This evening, the first benefit, fruit that we want to mention is one which is very important, and it is that which enables the true believer to earn all good, every possibility of good. The Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he says, وَمِنْهَا يعني مِنْ فَوَائِدْ الْإِيمَانِ وَثَمَرَاتِهِ, from the benefits of Iman and its rewards, is أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يحمل صاحبه على الشكر في حالة السراء والصبر في حالة الضراء وكسب الخير في كل أوقاته.
If somebody can take the handouts, maybe they're in the machine, send one over to the lady side also.
That from the benefits of al-Iman, it is that it induces or it prompts the one who has Iman to be thankful at the time of prosperity when they receive some good. And it prompts the one who has Iman to be patient at the time of hardship or difficulty or calamity or affliction. And it enables them to earn al-khayr, the good, at every time. This benefit, the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, he has derived it from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is reported in the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Suhaib ibn Sinan radiyallahu anhu al-Rumi, in which he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ajaban li amr al-mu'min." Amazing is the matter or the affair of the believer. His affair is very amazing. It is sumptuous. It is something very good. Inna amrahu kullahu khayrun. That his affair, the whole of it is khayr. Khayr. The whole of his life, the whole of his matter, it is all khayr. Wa laysa dhaka li ahadin illa lil mu'min. And this is not so for anyone except the believer. Actually, the Shaykh, as he has mentioned the hadith here, this sentence is at the end of the hadith. However, in the Sahih of Muslim, it is narrated as I have mentioned it here. Yani he said that the affair, the whole of his affair is good, and this is not so. Yani the whole of the affair of a human being being good, it is not so for anyone except a believer. لَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. So this is something exclusive to the people of Iman, that the whole of the affair, it is khair for them. Then the Prophet ﷺ explained, إِنَّ صَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That if he meets prosperity, if good comes to him, then he is thankful. He thanks Allah for it, and for that reason it becomes something good for him, because he is thankful. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And if some hardship or harm or difficulty comes to him, then he is patient. So therefore it is good for him. Yani even that hardship or calamity or affliction that befalls him, it becomes something good because he meets it with patience. The good that comes to him in this world, it is really good for him because he meets it with gratitude and thankfulness. So this is the condition of the believer, that when good comes to him, he is thankful. And when harm or hardship or difficulty comes to him, he is patient, and therefore the whole of his affair is good for him, and this is not so except for the mu'min. The Shaykh says, therefore, ash-shukr wa sabr, thankfulness or gratitude and patience, these are the two things that bring together the whole of all that is good. Therefore the believer, the mu'min, he is the one who achieves all good, all times. Yani he is the one who profits in every situation or circumstance. Whatever is his situation, whatever is his circumstance, he benefits from it. This hadith has been discussed in detail, and some very important points have been mentioned by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Riyad al-Saliheen. And since the author has only mentioned the hadith in brief, and because of its benefit and importance, it is good that we look at his brief comments of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, so that we will get further benefit from this hadith. The Shaykh, he says, that the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amazing is the affair of the believer, the whole of his affair is good for him. Here, in this word, in this expression, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is expressing his amazement at the good condition and the good state of the affair of the believer. And that this matter, it is only for the believer. Then the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh says, explained what he means by this, that the whole of his affair is good, and he expressed it in these words, that if good comes to him or prosperity comes to him, then he is thankful, and therefore it is good for him. And if hardship or difficulty comes to him, then he is patient, and therefore it is good for him. He said this is the condition of the mu'min. In fact, every human being, he is between two matters in reference to the qada of Allah and the qadr of Allah. In reference to the divine decree and its execution by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over his creatures, every human being is between two matters. Either between sarra, prosperity and goodness, or darra, hardship and difficulty or affliction or harm. Every human being is between these two conditions. Therefore the people are divided into two types. The mu'min and other than the mu'min. The mu'min and the kafir. As for the mu'min, the whole of his condition, whatever Allah has decreed for him, it is good for him. If harm comes to him or hardship or difficulty, then he is patient. The Shaykh explains this meaning, أَتُوا دَرَّا. If any hardship comes to him, then he is patient. صَبَرَ, he said, it means that he is patient with what Allah has decreed for him. He is patient with what? He is patient with knowing the fact that Allah is the one who has decreed that hardship that he is experiencing. It is from Allah. Therefore he is patient with it, knowing that it is the qadr of Allah. And he waits for the relief from Allah. When that difficulty comes to him, he is patient with it, knowing it is from Allah, and also he knows that Allah will relieve him from it. So he waits patiently for the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he hopes and expects for a reward from Allah. If he is patient with that difficulty and hardship, he expects that Allah will reward him. This is the meaning of being patient with hardship and difficulty. It means that a person is patient with what Allah has decreed to befall them, and they wait for Allah's relief, knowing that Allah will relieve them from it, it will not be permanent, hoping for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is good for them, and that person achieves the reward of as-sabirin, those who are patient, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah Al-Zumr, chapter 39, verse 10, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the full reward to the patient ones. He gives them their full reward without any hisab. Yani no one knows how much they will get. It is without hisab. It is not something that anyone can measure. It is beyond the measurement of human beings. Therefore it is without hisab. This is his condition when harm comes to him. As for when he meets prosperity, when good comes to him, the Shaykh said, the meaning of this sarra, the good, he said, it is either the bounties of the deen. Yani the ni'mah deeniyya. Ni'mah deeniyya. The religious benefit, like knowledge and righteous deeds. Or it is the worldly ni'mah, the worldly benefit, ni'mah dunyawiyya, like wealth or children or a good spouse. When this good comes to the believer, whether it is from the worldly blessings or whether it is from the religious blessings, he is thankful to Allah for that. And he expresses his thanks by acting in accordance with obedience to Allah, by fulfilling those things which Allah has called him to fulfill. And this is because a shukra, or gratitude or thankfulness, it is not simply the saying of a human being, I thank Allah. That is not a shukra. It is not that alone. But it requires that the person act in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is thankful to Allah truly, it is not merely the expression on the tongue of the word of shukr, but it is more than that. It is fulfilling those things which Allah has required of us, acting in obedience to Him. So he thanks Allah, and therefore, when that good comes to him, when he thanks Allah, it becomes something good for him. Therefore he has two bounties or two blessings, the ni'mah of the deen and the ni'mah of the dunya. The ni'mah of the deen and the ni'mah of the dunya. The ni'mah of the dunya, it is that prosperity or the good things that came to him in the world, and the ni'mah of the deen, it is the shukr, the attitude or the condition or state of thankfulness that the believer is in. This is the ni'mah of the deen. That is the condition of the believer. As for the disbeliever, the Shaykh says the disbeliever is in an evil condition, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. That if any harm comes to the disbeliever, he is not patient. And unlike the believer, he is not patient. On the contrary, he is annoyed and he is discontent. And he asks for destruction and he curses the time. In fact, he may even curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to his discontent and his dissatisfaction with what he is confronted with of hardships or difficulty. If good comes to him, unlike the believer, he is not thankful. If good comes to the kafir, he doesn't thank Allah. And for that reason, that prosperity or good that comes to him, it becomes a means of punishment for him in the next life. And that is because the kafir, he doesn't eat anything in this world, nor does he drink any drink from that which is in this world, except that it becomes a sin for him. Yani he falls into sin by what he eats and drinks due to him being a kafir, who is not thankful for what Allah has provided him with. This is not so in reference to the believer. However, this is the condition of the kafir, that he falls into sin when he enjoys the bounties of this world, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 32, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. Who is the one who has prohibited or made forbidden the adornment, the clothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided or produced for His servants? Who is it that has prohibited these things or claims that the human being should not enjoy the lawful things in this world? وَالطَّيِّبَاتْ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ, and the enjoyable good things, the wholesome things that Allah has given of provisions and sustenance. قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that these things, the good things of this world, whether it is the food or the drink or the clothing that Allah has provided from the lawful things in this world, He said, قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that these things, they are for those who believe in the life of this world, خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and they are exclusively for the believers in the next life. Yani the disbelievers will share with them in the good things of this world, they may enjoy it, but it is not for them. هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Yani these good things that we are enjoying in this world, that the kafirs are also engaging in, that they are consuming, it is not for them. Because they are not thankful to Allah. And that shukra, the ultimate shukra, it is iman, believing in Allah. Yani shukra is the opposite of kufr. So here, the shukra, it is to believe in Allah. If they are not thankful to Allah by believing in Him and worshipping Him and obeying Him, then they have no right to enjoy these things. Therefore, their consumption of it, it is sinful, and they will be punished in the next life for this. The good things of this world are for them. Allah has provided them so that the people will use it to assist themselves in fulfilling the commands of Allah and obeying Allah and worshipping Him in this world. As for those who don't believe in Him and who don't worship Him, then they have no right to enjoy these things, and therefore whatever they consume of it, they will be called to account for it in the next life, and they will be punished. As for in the next life, the good things of the next life will be exclusively for the believers alone. And the Shaykh says that these good things, they are for the believers, especially, yani they are designed to be for those who believe in Allah, and in the next life they will be exclusively for them. As for those who don't believe, then it is not for them. And they are eating it, it is haram for them, it is forbidden. And therefore they will be punished for partaking in it on Yawm Qiyamah. Therefore the condition of the disbeliever, it is evil. Whether hardship comes to him or whether good or prosperity comes to him, it is all evil for him, as opposed to the believer, for verily his condition, the whole of it, it is all al-khayr. There are some more comments that the Shaykh has made, but however, for the sake of time, we will just mention the end of what he has said, and that is that the person who is given some bounty in this world, they must thank Allah for it. And if they thank Allah for it, then they should realize that that is also their thanking Allah, their ability to thank Allah, and their consciousness of thanking Allah, that is also from the tawfiq of Allah, favor that Allah has given them, enabling them to fulfill that requirement of being thankful. Therefore, that also requires shukr, that they should thank Allah, that He has enabled them to thank Him. Many have not thanked Him. So those who Allah has enabled to thank Him, also that requires thanks. Therefore the Shaykh said that every ni'mah that the person has, and every time they are thankful for it, it also requires further thanks. He said, however, the reality of the matter is that we are in ghafla, we are unmindful. Most of the people are unmindful. They are not thankful to Allah. They are not thanking Allah. Therefore, to awaken our hearts, to awaken our hearts and your hearts, and to correct our deeds and your deeds, and indeed He is the one who is bountiful and able to do so. After this, the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he mentions another hadith which is related to this topic, however from a different perspective. And this hadith makes us to know that not only the condition of the believer is that it is all good, because when some good comes to him, he is thankful, and when some harm comes to him, he is patient. Not only that, but also good comes to him in the form of the expiation of his sins whenever any harm befalls him. Not in consideration of whether he is patient with it or not. That automatically, when any harm befalls the mu'min, the believer, Allah rewards them for that suffering, whether they were patient with it or not. If they are thankful, that is extra. But even if they are not, because they have been suffering some affliction, some difficulty, some hardship, anxiety, fear, whatever pain they have suffered or sickness in this world, then Allah removes their sins by it. So the Shaykh mentioned this hadith that is also reported in the Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يصيب المؤمن من هم ولا غم ولا أذى إلا كفره إلا كفر الله عنه بها من خطاياه. That the believer, the true believer who has iman, he is not afflicted with any ham, any anxiety, any anxiety, fear, or worrying about something that he expects to happen in the future. وَلَا غَمٍّ, nor any grief over what has afflicted him, what has befallen him. Nor any أذى, no harm, yani the harm that is general or that which particularly comes from others. No worry or anxiety or grief or harm afflicts him except that Allah expiates or removes as a result of that some of his sins. It's been narrated by various scholars with different wordings. From amongst the wordings that have been mentioned is the authentic narration reported by Al-Imam Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah. He said that the believer is not afflicted with any of these things except that Allah raises up his degrees, except that Allah raises up his status, his position, due to that which he has been afflicted with. And Allah also removes from him his sins, yani some of his sins for that which he has been afflicted with. And another hadith which Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani mentioned in the explanation of Sahih Bukhari, that is reported by Tabarani with a chain of narrators that is good and acceptable according to Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. He said that no harm or suffering like this befalls the believer except that Allah removes due to it some of his sins and writes for him as a result of it some good deeds and raises up as a result of it his status or his position in front of Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Yani that some of his sins are removed and likewise good deeds are written for him as a result of that, in addition to him being raised up in degrees in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith concerning this are many of similar wording reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim and in other authentic collections. Concerning this hadith and the previous hadith, the Shaykh mentions two points in reference to the condition of the believer when good comes to him and the condition of the believer when something harmful or something of hardship afflicts him. He says that the believer, at the time when bounties and the favors of Allah or prosperity reaches him, he collects two bounties, ni'matan. The first of them is the ni'mah of receiving that thing which he loves, the good that has come to him. That thing which he hopes for and wish for, when he gets it, that is the first ni'mah, that he has gotten this prosperity or this good thing or this benefit or bounty that Allah has given to him. The second of them, it is the success that Allah gives to that believer when good comes to him to be thankful. And he said that this ni'mah, the tawfiq of shukr, of being thankful, he said this is greater and it is higher than the first one. Yani it is better than the ni'mah of whatever Allah has given to the people in this world. And in this way, Allah perfects and completes the ni'mah for the believer by giving him the thing that he loves and then enabling him to be thankful, to fulfill the obligation of gratitude for that which Allah has blessed him with. As for the condition of the believer at the time when hardship or difficulty comes to one, the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, that the believer at the time of hardship or difficulty collects three ni'm, three bounties. The first of them, it is the expiation or the removal of his sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes some of his sins due to that affliction or calamity or hardship or pain or suffering or sickness that he has experienced. The second of them, it is the achievement of the status of a sabr, yani the achievement of this high status of the one who is patient at the time of affliction. If he is patient at that time, then the second ni'mah, it is the achievement of a high status, the status of a sabr, which is higher than and better than that the first ni'mah, that is the expiation of his sins. And the third ni'mah, it is the ease with which Allah allows him to face that difficulty and hardship. Yani Allah reduces the hardship on him so that he is able to accept it and he is able to face it and deal with it with ease and not with difficulty. And this is also a ni'mah. And this is due to the fact that when the believer knows the reward that he will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for bearing patiently that which he is subjected to. And when he becomes accustomed to being patient in the face of hardship and difficulty, then the pressure or the gravity, the heaviness of that calamity, it is reduced upon him. The burden of carrying it is reduced and it is easier for him. Because he knows that he will get a reward from Allah. And because he gets used to being patient in the face of affliction and calamity, therefore when he is afflicted with any difficulty, any calamity, then he is able to bear it with ease, or the burden of it is reduced at least, and it is easy for him. And this is similar to what the Shaykh has mentioned previously, earlier in the book, the rule or the qa'idah that he mentioned when he said, حَلَاوَةِ الْأَجْرِ تُخَفِّفُ مَرَارَةِ الصَّبْرِ, that the sweetness of the reward that one expects from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of affliction or calamity, the sweetness of that reward, knowing that Allah is going to give a great reward for the one who is patient, that reduces the difficulty and the hardship of being patient. It is difficult to be patient in the face of affliction or calamity. However, the difficulty of being patient is reduced by the fact that the believer knows that by being patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give him a great reward. From amongst the narrations of the hadith, of the previous hadith, that are similar in meaning, from amongst those narrations is that in which it is reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن مُصِيبَةٍ تُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمِ إِلَّا كَفَرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَنْهُ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَ يُشَاقُهُ. Yani, there is no affliction that befalls the Muslim except that Allah removes as a result of it, yani, some of his sins. Yani, expiates some of his sins. Even if it is the pricking of a thorn. Yani, even the small pain of the pricking of a thorn, as a result of that Allah removes some of his sins. This is the hadith of Aisha reported in Al-Bukhari, and in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, in the same chapter, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِن نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا حَمٍ وَلَا حَزَنٍ وَلَا غَمٍ حَتَّى الشَّوْقَ يُشَاقُهَا إِلَّا كَفْرَ اللَّهِ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ. That the Muslim, he is not afflicted with anything that is difficult or hard. يعني, وَصَب, it means ta'ab, difficulty. He is not afflicted with any difficulty, nor any sickness, or any permanent sickness, nor any fear or anxiety of what he expects to happen to him of harm, nor any grief over that which has afflicted him previously, nor the harm that comes from others. He is not subjected to any of this, even to that small pain which one suffers from the pricking of a thorn, except that Allah removes some of his sins as a result of this. So these hadith show that the believer, in some of the hadith it is mentioned, the mu'min, and in some of the hadith it is mentioned, the Muslim. And the meaning is the same in this case, because as we said previously, that Islam and Iman have the same meaning when they are used independently. And if they come together, then each of them has their exclusive meaning. So here, the Muslim or the Mu'min, it is made clear that the believer, when he is subjected to any difficulty or pain or hardship or suffering, then he is rewarded by at least some of the sins being removed. And this is also a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of Iman. This is also for the believer alone. It is not for the disbelievers. When they suffer any hardship in this world, it is just suffering. The suffering due to their kufr or due to their sins that they deserve. As for the believer, when the believer suffers, then even if it is due to some sins, but it will be a means of removing their sins, and it will be a means of their rewards being increased, and their status in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being raised. The next fa'idah or thamara of al-iman, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ يَقْطَعُ الشُّقُوقُ. أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ يَقْطَعُ الشُّقُوقُ أَلَّتِي تَعْرُضُ لِكَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَتَدُرُّ. Yani, that iman, also of the benefits or the fruits of iman, is that it removes or it cuts off all doubts. It removes and it stops short and cuts off the doubts which most of the people are subjected to and cause harm to their deen as a result of those doubts. Many of the people are subjected to this, and many of the people, their deen is affected It is corrupted. It is weakened due to the doubts that come to them from various sources. Iman removes these doubts. It cuts them off and stops them short. And this is, the Shaykh mentions here as a proof of this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49, verse 15, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. That verily the believers, they are those and only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. And then they have no doubt. Yani they have no doubt. They are certain about that which they believe in. And the rest of the ayat goes on to mention, وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. That they are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then have no doubt about that which the believer is required to believe in, and then they exemplify, and they manifest their iman in actions by striving and fighting in the way of Allah with their wealth and their selves. And these indeed are those who are the sadiqun. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah says in his tafsir of this ayat, in his book of tafsir, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a condition for iman that a person has no doubt. It is a condition for true iman that there shouldn't be any doubt. That is, they shouldn't have any doubt or uncertainty. Because the iman that benefits, it is the iman that is certain iman. The iman that really benefits the person is not the iman where somebody says they believe and they are in doubt. They are not sure. They are uncertain about what they claim to believe in. But the iman that benefits is the one where the person has al-yaqeen, certainty in those who are to believe in. And there is no doubt of any type whatsoever that is allowed to enter into that person's iman. The Shaykh said that these are those who are the sadiqun, those who are truthful in their claim to iman. The Shaykh, he says, yani in summary, he said that they testify to the truthfulness of their iman by their beautiful actions. Indeed, he said, whoever claims to be truthful, whoever claims to be sadiq, a sidq, it is a great claim and it requires a proof. And the proof of that claim, it is the person who claims to believe that they fulfill the obligations and the essential requirements that are conditioned by that iman, this is the one who is the true believer in reality. Otherwise, whoever makes a claim, then there's no benefit whatsoever for their claim if they don't act in accordance with it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only one who knows the iman that is in the heart. Therefore, their claim doesn't benefit them with the people and it doesn't benefit with Allah, because Allah knows the reality of their condition. Here, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says that concerning this matter, one of the fruits of iman that it is that iman removes and cuts off and cuts short doubts, the doubts that the people are subjected to and which causes harm to their iman. He said that this ayat is a proof that it is a condition of true iman that the person has no doubt. Because that iman, al-iman as-sahih, that the true believer has, it removes doubt, it removes uncertainty, and then it eliminates it in totality. It eliminates it so that nothing is remaining, and that is the one who has true iman. That iman, it also resists and push back doubts, those doubts which are brought forth by the shayateen from the ins, and the shayateen from the jinn, and from the soul or the self that is inclined towards evil. Yani an-nufus al-ammara bis-su. Yani these, they come from the shayateen, from the jinn, and the shayateen from the ins, the human shayateen also, and it comes from the lower self of the human being that is inclined towards evil. All of these doubts that come from these three sources, they are repulsed by true iman, and they are eliminated, and they are resisted, and the person is protected from them by that iman, and this is one of the benefits of iman. For this reason, the Shaykh said that there is no dawa, there is no medicine or cure for these sicknesses, these destructive sicknesses, the sicknesses of doubt and uncertainty, except the realization, the achievement and the realization of iman. Tahqiq al-iman. The person has to realize the iman. They have to fully achieve it in order to get the benefit from that iman. In that case, it is a cure for all of these sicknesses, for these destructive sicknesses that causes harm to a person's iman. Here the Shaykh mentions the hadith which is reported in al-Sahihain and al-Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يزال الناس يتساءلون حتى يقال هذا الله هذا الله خلق الخلق حتى يقال هذا الله خلق الخلق فمن خلق الله. He said that the people will continue to question one another. They will ask questions amongst themselves until it will be said, this is the matter. Allah has created the creation. So who has created Allah? Allah has created the creation, the whole of the creation. But who has created Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَلْيَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. So whoever finds himself in that situation, where somebody reached the point where they ask such a question, who has created Allah? Then it shouldn't be responded to, except that the person should say, I believe in Allah. Yani confirming and affirming one's faith in Allah. Not allowing such doubtful matters, which are doubts from shaitan, to harm them in their deen. The Prophet ﷺ said, then it is incumbent on you to say, Amantu billahi. And the Shaykh mentions here further wording, but that wording is from other narrations of the hadith. Wal yantahi wal yata'awwadh billahi min ash-shaytan. Yani then the person should abandon and distance themselves and remove themselves from such thoughts. Leave that and forget about it and turn away from it and seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. There are also a number of narrations of this hadith reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In the narration in Al-Bukhari, it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that shaitan will come to one of you. That shaitan, يَأْتِي الشَّيْطَانِ أَحَدَكُمْ فَيَقُولْ مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا مَنْ خَلَقَ كَذَا حَتَّى يَقُولْ مَنْ خَلَقَ رَبَّكْ فَإِذَا بَلَغَهُ فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ وَلْيَنْتَهِ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ says here that shaitan will come to one of you. And it is proof that it is from shaitan. It may be the shaitan from the jinn or shaitan from the human beings. And he will say to you, who created such and such? And who created such and such? Asking about who created the heavens or who created the earth and so on, as it is reported in other narrations. And then he will reach the point that he will say, who created your Lord? When you say, who created the heavens? You will say, Allah. Who created the earth? Allah. Finally, he will say, who created your Lord? So if anybody reaches this situation or finds themselves in that situation, فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ وَلْيَنْتَهِي. Then that person should seek refuge in Allah from this shaitan and his doubtful matters, and he should distance himself or avoid or turn away from such things. Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, also narrated a number of narrations of this hadith, the one that the Shaykh has mentioned, yani that the people will continue to ask until it will be said that Allah created the creation, so who created Allah? And therefore the person should say, Amantu billah. In another narration, he mentions that a shaitan, or the shaitan will say, who created the heavens and who created the earth? And then he mentioned the rest of the hadith. And in another narration, he said that the shaitan will come to one of you and he will say, who created so and so and such, until it will be said, who created your Lord? So if anybody reaches that situation, فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ وَلْيَنْتَهِي, then seek refuge in Allah and turn away from such a matter. And the narration of this hadith in the Sahih Muslim are many. That some of the people would ask about ilm, about knowledge of various things, until they would say, who created us? And then they would say, who created Allah? And so on. The point is that in all of these narrations, that which is similar is that questions will go back and forth between the people asking about various matters of creation until finally the shaitan from amongst the jinn or the men would ask the question of who created your Lord, who created Allah, at which time the person should reject such by affirming their belief in Allah, amantu billah, and seeking refuge in Allah from shaitan and his doubts, and turning away from those doubtful matters or those thoughts of confusion and corruption. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned this beneficial medicine for this destructive disease. And that medicine, it contains, or it consists of three things. One of them, it is distancing oneself from the shaitanic whisperings, the satanic whisperings, closing one's mind from it, removing oneself from such and not reflecting upon it. Another of those things that one should do, he said, it is al-isti'adha, seeking refuge from the evil of the one who suggests such ideas, so that, and who suggests such ideas in order to lead the people astray. And the third of them, he said, is al-i'tisam, seeking refuge or seeking protection in al-iman as-sahih, the correct iman, which whoever person would be of those who are safe, and acknowledging and admitting and confessing one's belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He said this is so because falsehood, its falsehood becomes clear through many things, but the greatest of those things which make falsehood clear that it is falsehood, it is knowledge. Knowledge that indicates that this falsehood is contradictory to or opposed to the truth. Then whenever somebody has correct knowledge and falsehood comes, correct knowledge will make it clear that this falsehood, it is contrary to, it is in contradiction, or it nullifies and negates the truth. And therefore the Shaykh said that this type of knowledge, he said, it is the knowledge that makes clear falsehood. And then he said, وَكُلُّ مَا نَاقَضَ الْحَقِّ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ. And this is a qaida or a rule that we can take as a basic principle, that everything which nullifies or negates or contradicts the truth, then it is falsehood. Anything that negates the truth is falsehood. If anybody brings us any point or any principle, any point of information that is contradictory to what we know to be the truth, then we know that it is falsehood. Such as the one who says that the human beings can create life, and we know that there is only one creator. That contradicts the truth which we know. Therefore we know that it is false. Without any evidence, without any further consideration, كُلُّ مَا نَاقَضَ الْحَقِّ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٌ. Everything that nullifies and negates the truth, then it is false. And then the Shaykh mentions as a proof of this, the saying of Allah in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 32, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. So what is there after the truth except astray, falsehood? Yani what can there be after the truth except falsehood? Anything that is after the truth, opposed to it, contradictory to it, then it is nothing but error and astray and falsehood. And this ayah came in the context of the previous ayah in which subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, who created you or who provides you in the heavens and the earth? Who is it that provides for you? And indeed they will acknowledge that it is Allah who is the one who provides. And they will say, who is the one who created and controls and possesses the hearing and sight? And of course they will say it is Allah. And who is the one who brings the life out of death? And it will be, the answer will be Allah. And who brings death from the life? It is Allah. And who controls the affair? Then, فَيَقُولُونَ Allah. They would definitely say to all of these questions, it is Allah. So Allah said to them, to the Prophet, say to them, فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Then do you not have fear, taqwa of Allah? If it is Allah who controls everything in the universe and who provides for the creatures and gives life and death, then will you not worship Allah alone? How can you then, after acknowledging that, worship other than Allah? Then the ayat under discussion came, فَذَلِكُمْ فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ الْحَقِّ فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. So that is indeed, the one who is described with these things, it is Allah your Lord, the one who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and the provider and the protector, and therefore He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. He is Allah al-Haq, the true one that deserves to be worshipped. So what is there after the truth? After the true God, the one that deserves to be worshipped, what is there after Him except falsehood, error and astrayness? The next benefit that the Shaykh mentions, it is, he says, وَمِنْهَا, and also from the benefits or the fruits of al-Iman, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ مَلْجَأُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Iman, it is a shelter, a place of refuge or retreat for the true believers. Yani in every situation or circumstance, the true believer goes back to this refuge, this shelter, the shelter of al-Iman. He says that is a shelter for the true believers in every situation that they may find themselves in, whether it is happiness or grief or fear or safety or in the state of obedience to Allah or disobedience or other than that, from amongst those situations or circumstances that every individual has to be subjected to. In every situation or circumstance, the true believer merely turns back to his iman. Faith, true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a shelter or a refuge from every situation. Then the Shaykh explains here each of these points. Yani the situation of happiness or grief, fear or safety, obedience and disobedience. In every situation, the person, the believer, should turn back to al-iman as his shelter or his retreat or place of refuge. He said at the time when somebody has received that which is beloved to them, yani the things that they enjoy and that they love or a state of happiness, then they return or they retreat to their iman and they praise Allah and thank Allah. Because Allah has given them that which they love and that which they want and that which they desire. So they praise Allah. Turning back to iman means that the person acts in accordance with what iman requires of them. When Allah has given good, then you should thank Allah. So the turning back to iman, retreating, taking shelter in iman, it means that that person turns back to Allah. The true praise of Allah and thanks of Allah, it is exemplified in employing the ni'am, the bounties that Allah has given in that which the one who has given it loves you to use it for. Yani using that which Allah has given in the way that is pleasing to Him. So returning to the shelter of iman here at the time of receiving that which one loves and appreciates, it is praising Allah, thanking Him, and then using it, employing it in the way that is loved by Allah. Not using it for disobedience to Allah, but using it in obedience to Allah, spending it in the way of Allah, or using it in the lawful way. At the time of difficulty, or those things that one dislikes, or when one is subjected to grief or sorrow, turning back to the shelter of iman, it is from a number of perspectives. The first of them he mentioned, turning back to iman at the time of hardship or grief or sorrow, it is that the person seeks comfort or consolation in their iman. Yani recognizing, acknowledging and reflecting upon the fact that they are a believer. Yani when difficulty or hardship comes to that person, they reflect upon the fact that they are a believer. And that iman consoles them. It comforts them because their condition is better than everyone else who doesn't have iman. So they seek refuge and they seek consolation or comfort in their iman and in the sweetness of their iman. The sweetness of the iman. The iman, the true iman, it is sweet and the person enjoys it. And when one acknowledges the iman and reflects upon it, then this is a source of comfort and consolation. And it is a means to cause the person to forget about their difficulty or the hardship or the suffering or the grief or the sorrow that they have experienced. The second way in which the person turns back to their iman as a shelter or a retreat from difficulties and hardships is that they seek consolation in that which will be the result of their iman. The result of their iman is that when they suffer any difficulty, if they are patient, believing in Allah, then they will be rewarded. So they also find some consolation and some self-assurance and comfort in the fact that the true believer, if they suffer hardship or difficulty, then and they are patient. So this is also a consolation. And the third of them is that they meet anxiety or unrest or grief or sorrow. They meet it with that by reflecting upon and turning back to the tranquility of the heart that contains iman, and returning to the good life, the life of the believer. Yani doing those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of the believer, turning back to those things so as not to concentrate on and to reflect upon the difficulty or the hardship that they have experienced. And this, yani tranquility and rest of the heart that contains iman and the good life of the believer living that life, it resists and repulses the grief and the sorrow and the distress that the human being is subjected to in this world. The third situation is in the situation of fear
How much time for that then? The third situation that the Shaykh mentions is the time of fear, al-khawf, that the believer turns back to Iman or retreats to his Iman as a shelter, a refuge from fear. And as a result of that Iman, that is their shelter, that person finds tranquility and peace. And not only that, but that Iman, it is increased by them going back and relying upon their Iman and reflecting and acknowledging their Iman, then their Iman is increased. And their firmness is also increased. And their strength and their courage is increased. And as a result of that, the fear which has afflicted them, it is reduced to almost nothing, so that it becomes insignificant. And this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, concerning the best of the creatures after the prophets and messengers, the believers, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verses 173 and 174. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمَ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمَ النَّاسَ. Those whom people said to them. The people who said to them are the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And those who they were speaking to were the mu'minun, the believers. Those believers whom the munafiqun said to them, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ, that verily the people have gathered up a great army against you. The people here, they mean the pagan disbelievers, the Quraysh of Mecca, and those who join with them. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ, those believers whom the hypocrites said to them, that verily the pagan disbelievers have collected or gathered together a great army against you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ, so fear them. It should have been a means of fear that an army from all of the nations of the area were joined together with the pagan disbelievers to try to eliminate Islam, to destroy the Muslims. It should have been a cause of fear for them. However, because they retreated and they sought refuge in the Iman, فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Rather than it causing fear in their hearts, they were increased in their Iman and they said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Yani Allah is sufficient for us and He is the best of those who dispose of affairs. Yani when they retreated to their Iman, they realized that Allah is with them, that Allah is the one who is controlling their affair, and Allah is sufficient for them. Allah is sufficient against whoever is against them. Whoever Allah is with them, then Allah is sufficient against whoever may be against them. Therefore, instead of them increasing their fear, indeed, they increased their Iman, and they put their trust in Allah alone as the one who could take care of their matter. Then the Shaykh says here, for this reason, the fear, it was reduced to almost nothing from the hearts of those, the best of the creation, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the best of creation after the prophets and messengers. Then the fear was removed from their hearts, and it was followed or by the strength of Iman, and the sweetness of Iman, and the strength of tawakkul, reliance, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, putting their trust in Allah alone, and having faith in the promise of Allah that it is true. Yani the fear was removed, and Allah replaced it with strength of Iman, and the sweetness of Iman, and reliance, the strength of reliance upon Allah, and al-thiqa bi-wa'adihi, the trust in the promise of Allah that it is true. Concerning this ayah, the Shaykh says in his tafsir, yani that which is of benefit concerning this ayah, he said that when the Prophet ﷺ had returned from Uhud, from the Battle of Uhud, when he had returned to Medina, he had encouraged his companions to go out again to fight. And many of them had suffered wounds and hardship and difficulty in that battle. However, in obedience to the Prophet ﷺ, they answered the call of Allah and the call of the Prophet ﷺ. And when they reached a place called Hamra al-Asad, some people came to them and said to them, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ, that indeed the pagan disbelievers, they have gathered up an army against you. And they were in a difficult condition. They were tired and they were worn out and they were wounded. And they were not really in a condition to go out to battle again. However, they believed in Allah, they put their trust in Allah, and they realized, and Allah made them to realize that this was only a threat of extinguishing them or exterminating them. It was only a threat to put fear into them, to cause them to fear. On the contrary, Allah caused their iman to be increased and their trust in Allah to be increased. And they accepted that Allah was sufficient for them and the best of those in whose hands their affair could be placed. After this, the Shaykh mentions the fourth situation that the believers seek refuge in their iman, in the situation of safety. In the situation of safety, when they are safe and they are secure, there are no problems, but everything is fine and things are well, then they do not, yani their iman seeking refuge or returning to the iman does not cause them to become reckless or to become proud or arrogant. It doesn't cause them to become proud or arrogant while they are in the condition of safety. When things have gone well, on the contrary, they humble themselves. They humble themselves because they know that this condition of safety, it is from Allah. It is not because of themselves. It is from Allah. It is Allah's favor that Allah has made their situation easy for them. Therefore, they are thankful to the one who has caused this ease. The one who caused the thing that made their situation easy, or those things that led up to that ease, it is Allah. So they thank Him, knowing that if they have achieved victory or triumph over their enemies, and they have achieved respect and glory in the land, because they have defeated their enemies, they know that this is only by the power and strength of Allah and His favor, and it is not due to their own strength and their own power. Therefore, they don't become proud and arrogant or reckless, but they remain humbled in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thankful to Him alone. And this is retreating to iman even in the time of safety. Then he says the fifth of those situations is that the believer retreats to his iman at the time of ata'a, obedience, wa tawfiq lil a'mal as-salihah. Yani when the person has been given the ability to successfully perform some righteous deeds. At the time when a person is in a state of obedience to Allah and they have been successful in doing righteous deeds, then they also retreat. In that condition, they retreat to the shelter of al-Iman. And it causes them to acknowledge the ni'mah of Allah upon them. Yani that this condition of being in obedience to Allah and this condition of having the ability to do righteous deeds, they acknowledge that it is a ni'mah from Allah upon them that they are in this condition. The greatest of the bounties of Allah, it is this, the fact that Allah has given them the ability to be in this condition of obedience to Him. And it is greater than well-being, and it is greater than the provisions that one is given in this world. They realize that this is indeed a greater ni'mah than whatever they have been given of the worldly things. It is the condition of being in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in this condition, when they retreat to their iman, they seek to complete that ta'a, that act of obedience, to complete it, yani by doing it completely and fulfilling it and all that it requires to the fullest extent. Yani taking every means or every measurement that they can take in order that they complete and perfect that good deed so that it will be accepted, so that it will not be rejected, and that it will not be defective. They make every effort to complete it and to perfect it. If somebody has been given the tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform the prayers in jama'ah in the masjid, then they should be eager and earnestly seeking to complete that prayer and to perfect it by not only performing it in the masjid, but performing it in the manner that it should be performed in, by lining in the line straight and standing in the line straight and raising one's hands properly and bowing properly and having the consciousness and state of mind al-khushu in the salat. All of this in order to perfect the favor that Allah has given one in doing that good deed, but making that good deed complete and perfect, so that, number one, it will be accepted, because whoever does a good deed has no guarantee that it is accepted by Allah. But trying to fulfill all of its requirements so that it would be accepted, and also so that it would be perfected, it would not be incomplete, so that the reward for it will be defective. If a person performs the prayer and their mind is wandering, then the Prophet ﷺ said the people in that condition, they might get only half of the reward. One half of the reward of the prayer. Or one fourth of the reward, or one fifth of the reward, or one sixth of the reward, or one tenth of the reward. Perform the prayer, but the reward will not be complete. Therefore, the believer in this condition of obedience to Allah, when Allah has given them the ability to do good deeds, they are not satisfied with that. But they are also eager to perfect that deed and to follow every means in order that it is accepted, in order that it will not be rejected and that it will not be defective. Not only that, but then they ask Allah, the one who has given freely of His bounty, in giving them the ability to do this good deed, they ask Him to complete and to perfect His favor upon them by accepting it. Yani they supplicate to Allah, if they have made every effort to do it properly and fully and perfect it, then they also supplicate to Allah to accept it from them. Don't assume it will be accepted, but ask Allah to accept it. Therefore, they go further than just trying, making every effort to complete it and to perfect it, but they also supplicate to Allah, asking Him to accept it. The one who has, yani, through His favor, has given them the ability to do the initial act itself, then they ask Him to complete His favor upon them, so that they would not fall short in that act and so that it would not be rejected. The last condition that the Shaykh mentions concerning seeking refuge in one's iman, it is in the condition of al-ma'asi, when the person is in a condition of sinfulness, committing sins, acts of disobedience to Allah. In that condition also, the believer seeks refuge and retreats to his iman when he has been tested or tried by falling into some acts of disobedience. He seeks refuge in his iman by hastening to a tawbah, seeking repentance from that act, that act of disobedience that he has fallen into. Inshallah, we'll stop for the adhan and then complete this point and then look at the questions, inshallah. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulillah. The last point that we were mentioning before the adhan is the believer seeking refuge in his iman at the time of being tested by falling into some sin. And that seeking refuge in iman, it is hastening to the performance of a tawbah, seeking to repent from the sin that that person has fallen into. And doing whatever they can do of good deeds, doing whatever they can do after repenting, doing whatever they can do of good deeds in order to fix the defect that has been caused by falling into sin. That means repenting to Allah, yani leaving that thing, asking for Allah's forgiveness and making a determination not to return to it, sincere determination not to return to it. And then after that tawbah, then doing good deeds in order to fix and to make up for the shortcoming that has been caused by that sin. The Shaykh here mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 201, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. That verily those who have taqwa, the muttaqun, the people of taqwa, if they are touched, or if they are affected or afflicted by some evil thoughts from the shaitan, then they remember Allah. Yani those who have taqwa, even if they slip, and the human being is subject to slip, if they are afflicted by some evil thought from shaitan, some temptation or some evil suggestion, then due to their fear of Allah and their taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the success to remember Him. So they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Then they are able to see again. They are able to see their error and to turn back to Allah and to correct themselves. The Shaykh here, he mentions a saying that has been attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the more correct opinion concerning this hadith is that it is, the chain of narration for this hadith is da'if. It is not sahih, even though the meaning of it, inshallah, it is correct. However, some of the scholars, like Ali ibn Madini, the Shaykh of al-Bukhari, he said that one of the narrators in the chain of this hadith is majhul, and therefore the hadith is declared to be weak, or the chain at least is weak. That which the Shaykh mentions here, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَمَثَلُ الْإِيمَانِ كَالْفَرَسِ الْمَرْبُوطِ فِي آخِيَتِهِ يَجُولُ مَا يَجُولُ ثُمَّ يَعُودُ إِلَىٰ آخِيَتِهِ. Yani that the example or the likeness of the believer and the likeness of iman is like a horse that is tied to a short rope that is attached to the wall. A horse that is tied to a rope is stuck into the wall. Then that horse will go about freely, wandering about back and forth as much as he can, as much as that short rope will allow him to move. And after that, going about roaming as far as he can go with that rope which is stuck to the wall, then he will always go back to that place, back to his place where he has been tied to that wall. He will not be able to go too far. The Shaykh mentioned this hadith as a point about the believer. He said that like this, this is the likeness of the believer, that he goes about into ghafla. Sometimes he falls into unmindfulness. He falls into unmindfulness. He is a believer. He falls into unmindfulness and then he engages in some acts of sin. However, he returns quickly to his iman, which yani is the basis of his affairs, all of it. Yani the iman is the foundation of his affairs. So even if he slips as a human being into some act of sin or disobedience due to his ghafla, his unmindfulness or unconsciousness, then he will return back to quickly to that iman, which is the foundation of his affair. So the believers, in all of their going about and their actions and activities, then their shelter and their refuge is to their iman. And their effort, all of it, is made towards achieving and realizing and perfecting that iman and repulsing or pushing back that which negates it or opposes it. And that is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. This is the end of what we wanted to present, and just quickly we look at the questions at the end of the handout. The first of them, question number one, what is it about the mu'min that causes the whole of his affair to be khayr? Yani what is it about the believer that caused the Prophet ﷺ to say, "Inna amruhu kulluhu khayr"? His whole affair, it is good. In that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear it is that if any good comes to him, then he is thankful, shakara. He thanks Allah, and therefore, that is a real, is a ni'mah for him. Because since he has thanked Allah, then yani it becomes good for him. And if any harm or hardship comes to him, sabara, he is patient. And therefore, even that harm that has afflicted him, it becomes good for him. This is why the whole of the affair of the believer, and this is only for the believer, it is good because whatever his condition, whether good comes to him or harm, then he responds in the way that is required by iman, by being thankful or being patient, and therefore all of his condition is good for him. Question number two, how has Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah explained the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if any harm befalls him, he endures it patiently. Yani in asabatu darra'u sabara. Yani the Shaykh has said that if some harm afflicts him, then he is patient, means that he is patient with the decree of Allah, knowing that Allah is the one who has decreed whatever has befallen him. He is patient with Allah's decree. And he waits for the relief from Allah, knowing that Allah will relieve him from it. And it will never be permanent. The life in this world is not permanent, so no affliction can be permanent. So he waits for the relief of Allah, and then he hopes for and expects the reward of Allah. احتسب الأجر على الله. And then he hopes for the reward of Allah, and that way, the whole of his affair is good for him, and he gets the reward of those who are patient. Question number three discussed Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah's explanation of if he receives good, he thanks Allah. In asabatu sarra'u shakara. Yani if good comes to him, prosperity comes to him, then he thanks Allah. The Shaykh said, it means if good comes to him, it means the worldly benefits or the religious benefits. The worldly benefits, it means the wealth or children or good spouse. And the religious benefits, it is the knowledge, the correct beneficial knowledge and the righteous deeds, that is the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that situation, when he receives any of these goods of the worldly benefits or the religious benefits, he is thankful to Allah by acting in obedience to Allah. Because thankfulness, it is not simply saying, I thank Allah, but it requires that a person should Allah and use whatever good has come to them in his way, in the way that is pleasing to him. Question number four discussed the condition of the kafir when sarra'u, good, or darra'u, harm, comes to him. The condition of the kafir, it is evil in every case, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. If harm comes to him, he is not patient, but he is annoyed, he is discontent, and he asks for destruction, or he curses the time, or he curses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blaming others for his situation. And if good comes to him, then he is not thankful. He doesn't thank Allah, he doesn't thank anyone. And for this reason, even the good that comes to him, it will become a cause of punishment for him in the next life. Because whoever is not thankful to Allah and whoever doesn't believe in Allah, then they have no right. to the bounties and the good things of this world. Therefore, it will be a means of punishment for them. Question number 5 mentioned the ni'matan, the 2 blessings which the mu'min enjoys at the time of sarra'u, when good comes to them. The 2 blessings, it is the blessing of that good, that thing which the person received, which they love and they enjoy. That is one ni'mah. And the greater ni'mah, it is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability to fulfill the obligation of being thankful for that ni'mah, and they thank Allah, and that is the second ni'mah. Question number 6 mentioned the 3 ni'am, or the blessings which the believer enjoys at the time of darra'u, hardship. The Shaykh, he said that there are 3 blessings for the believer at the time of hardship. The first of them is the expiation of their sins as a result of whatever has afflicted them. The second of them, it is achieving the status of the patient ones, the status of a sabr, and that is greater than the first ni'mah. And the third of them, it is the ease with which their iman allows them to face and to confront that calamity or that affliction or whatever has befallen them. Knowing the reward that they will receive, it becomes easy for them to bear it. Question number 7, where do the shukuk or doubts which harm one's iman and one's deen, where do they come from? The Shaykh said that they come from 3 sources: the shayateen from amongst the jinn, and the shayateen from amongst the men, and from the lower self that is inclined towards evil. Number 8, discuss the dawa, the medicine prescribed by the Prophet for the da, disease of doubt. What is the dawa for this da', for this disease? The Prophet ﷺ said that there are 3 things. The first of them is al-i'tisam, yani seeking protection in the correct iman. Seeking protection in one's iman, and that is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. If somebody finds themselves in a doubtful situation, then they should say amen to billah. Yani if somebody, yani that hadith mentioned, the one who says, who has created Allah, or who created your Lord, that is a doubtful matter. The person should seek refuge in the correct iman, acknowledging their belief in Allah. The second of them is al-isti'adha, seeking refuge from that evil which has been whispered or suggested to them, seeking refuge in Allah from that evil. And the third of them is turning oneself away from the shaitanic or the satanic whisperings or suggestions. Number 9 mentioned the qa'idah, or the rule, from based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. So after the truth, what else can there be except error? It is the principle or the qa'idah that the Shaykh mentioned, قُلُّ مَا نَاقَدَ الْحَقِّ فَهُوَ بَاطِلِ, that everything which nullifies or negates or contradicts the truth, then it is falsehood. Yani what is there after the truth except falsehood? Anything that is opposed to the truth, then without any investigation or any consideration, know for sure that it is falsehood. It is misguidance and astray, error. The last question, in what way is al-iman a malja'a, place of refuge or shelter for the mu'mineen? The Shaykh has given a long discussion concerning this. He said it is a malja' for a place of refuge, or a means of refuge for the believer. When he is happy, he praises Allah and he uses that which Allah has given him in the way that is pleasing to him. At the time of sadness or grief, he turns back to his iman and the sweetness of iman, and the reward that one will get because of being patient at the time of difficulty or hardship. At the time of fear, he also seeks refuge in his iman, and that iman gives him tranquility, and his iman is increased, and his strength of relying on Allah is increased, and therefore at that time the fear is also reduced or eliminated. At the time of safety, his iman prevents him from being reckless or being proud or arrogant, and it causes him to be humble, and therefore this is also seeking refuge in iman. At the time of obedience, the seeking refuge in one's iman, it means acknowledging that this act of obedience that one has engaged in, it is the favor of Allah which Allah has given to that one, and therefore, believing that and knowing it, one should seek and earnestly make the effort to complete that act and perfect it so that it will not be short or imperfect or defective, and it will not be rejected. Therefore, one should ask Allah also to accept one's good deeds. At the time of being tested or tried with having falling into some sin, turning back to the refuge of iman, or the retreat in iman, it means hastening to a tawbah and the doing of good deeds, which will make up for the shortcoming of the sin that one has engaged. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or comment or correction, quickly, maybe just one before we go to the salat. If the sisters have any question, you may ask now.